Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles today, I'm going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm actually going to be preaching on the last part of that chapter, mainly in verses 14 and 15 and 16, the last verses. And the title of the message today is The Natural and the Spiritual Man. The Natural and the Spiritual Man. Now, I've been going through this passage in the last few weeks, mainly leading up to verses 14 and 15, which speaks of the distinction between unbelievers, who he calls the natural man, and believers, who he calls the spiritual, he that is spiritual. And we were talking about last week about the fullness and the freeness of salvation in verse 12. Let's go back to verse 12 and listen to this. 1 Corinthians 2:12. He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." Now I urge you to go to, or if you haven't heard that message last week, to order that. And I went into detail on that. The spirit of the world is the spirit of false religion. It's the spirit of works religion. Man trying to work his way into God's favor, work his way into righteousness. It's a way of salvation that is conditioned on the sinner. That's the spirit of the world. And it rejects Christ and salvation totally conditioned on him. Christ, who fulfilled all those conditions and secured the salvation of his people. And so now we have received not the spirit of the world, he says, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely, full and free salvation, unconditionally, without a cause given to us of God. All of salvation is a free gift. None of it is earned by me. None of it is deserved by me. It's all a free gift based upon the blood of Christ, the glorious person and finished work of Christ. And he says in verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches." In other words, this fullness and freeness of salvation, the Spirit which is of God, the freeness, the free things freely given of God, that didn't come through any wisdom of man. In fact, back in the verse 9, he said, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." In other words, the things of the gospel of God's grace have never even entered into the brains, into the hearts of man. In other words, this is a, Paul called it in Romans 1:1, the gospel of God. This is a message from heaven. It wasn't concocted by the philosophers and the religionist of human nature. That's the spirit of the world. But this is the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. Man has never thought about that. And what's sad is man won't receive it apart from the Spirit of God. That's what we're going to talk about. So another word, go back to 1 Corinthians 2:13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth." This is a spiritual revelation from heaven. And it compares spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, it doesn't reason from the ground up. You know, man, you know, that most religion today, the vast majority, even that which comes in the name of Christianity, but denies the truth, which is false Christianity, is nothing more than humanism. And what does humanism teach? is that man, it teaches that man is the center of the universe. Everything is about man. Everything starts and centers around man. It also teaches that in men there's a spark of goodness. And all we as preachers have to do is try to fan the flame of that little spark, you know, and get people to decide for Jesus. That's humanism. What does the Bible say? Well, he says in verse 14, here's what he says about man by nature. He speaks of, but the natural man, that's all of us as we are naturally born, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If left to ourselves, to our own wills, we will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, as he is identified and distinguished in this book. Now man will receive a false Christ. Man will receive a Christ who is crouched over the banister of heaven just pleading with you if you will accept him and do your part. Man will receive a Christ whose blood was shed for everybody without exception, but really saves nobody unless you seal the deal with your decision. But that's a false Christ. That's a Christ that appeals to human nature, because by nature we think we're worth something. We think that we deserve something. You see, if I preach to you that you make the difference between heaven and hell because you rose above the crowd and made your decision for Christ, whereas the others were more stubborn, well, that's appealing to people. You say, well, it's not appealing to everybody because everybody doesn't want to live a Christian life. Well, that's true. But my friend, when you see the Christ of the Bible, who is God in human flesh without sin, and whose righteousness brought about by his obedience unto death is the security, the guarantee of the salvation of all for whom he died. He will lose nothing. He will bring, and I quote this all the time, John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And he says, this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He said in John 10, he died for the sheep. He knows his sheep. His sheep know him. The sheep hear his voice, and they won't follow another. And they'll never be lost. No man can pluck them out of his Father's hand. He and his Father are one. But he says in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now what things will he not receive? The things that are freely given to us of God, verse 12. Man by nature has to have some part in his salvation upon which he can boast of having some part of attaining it or maintaining it. Now man has a part in salvation. Christ is the Savior. We're the sinners whom he saves. That's our part. One old preacher said, God did all the saving, I did all the sinning. And we do cooperate with the Lord in our salvation. But it's by his power, his grace, and his will that he brings us to cooperate. The Bible says that his people will be made willing in the day of his power. Somebody asked me one time, are you saying that God brings us to Christ against our wills? Well, it's against the natural will. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But what does God do in the new birth? He changes our wills through the new birth, through giving us spiritual life. You see, that's verse 15. Look at it. But he that is spiritual, born again by the Spirit, made alive, quickened, judgeth all things. He discerns all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now hold on to that thought. Go back to the natural man in verse 14. But the natural man, here's the next, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Over in 1 Corinthians 1:18, he's talking about the cross, the preaching of the cross. It's to them that are perishing foolishness. That's the natural man. How do you respond to the preaching of the gospel of this book? I'm not talking about the popular false gospels that go out through the world today that talks about how God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody. Now you make the decision. You make the difference. That's easy to receive. That's appealing to man. But the preaching of the cross, the propitiation, the Bible calls it, righteousness established that demands the salvation of everyone for whom Christ died, everyone for whom he was buried and arose again the third day, that his resurrection proves the establishment of a righteousness which God has imputed to his people, whereby they will be brought to faith in Christ by the power of God. They'll receive him. And he says, but unto us which are saved or being saved, it's the power of God. So he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Now he can hear with a physical ear and he can know what's being said. But the knowing here means an intimate love relationship. He knows and he understands them savingly. And he loves that truth. He sees that's the truth and he believes it. And the reason he won't know, he cannot know them that way is because they are spiritually discerned. He doesn't have a spiritual mind to understand the glory of this message. He doesn't have spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear. You remember Christ told the disciples in Matthew 13, blessed are your eyes for they see. Blessed are your ears for they hear. They don't have a heart for this. Now, there are several passages of Scripture where we can go to get a brief description of the natural man. One of them is in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and following. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul's talking here about all Jews and all Gentiles by nature, the natural man. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, you might be a religious Jew. You might be a religious Gentile. You might be an immoral Jew or an immoral Gentile. But he says in verse 9, they're all under sin. Look at verse 10 of Romans 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, what does that mean? That means there's none of us who by nature have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's justice and makes us right with God. We don't have it. We're not born with it. Later on, he says we can't work it. He says in verse 20, by deeds of law shall no flesh be justified, made righteous in God's sight. But look up at verse 11. Now listen to this. Now remember, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He says in verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. By nature, if left to ourselves, we won't understand these things, the things that are freely given, who God is in his holiness, even in his mercy and grace and love, who we are as totally depraved, ruined sinners, ruined by the fall. Our only out is to be redeemed by the blood and regenerated by the Spirit. We understand a lot of things in the world, but we don't understand the things of the Spirit of God. He says there's none that seeketh after God. As long as we don't understand the things of God and salvation and how God saves sinners, how God justifies the ungodly, we won't seek the true and living God. And I want you to notice here now, this is not saying there are none moral in the eyes of men. It's not saying there are none who appear righteous unto men. It doesn't say there's none religious. It says there's none righteous. It says there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Verse 12 of Romans 3. They are all gone out of the way. What way? The way of God's glory and grace in Christ. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to God. I know people today, what they're saying, that there's many ways to God. There's the Christian way, the Jewish way, the Muslim way, the Hindu way. No, there's only one way. And it's Christ and his blood and righteousness alone. And every other way is a way of death. There is a way that seems right to a man. but it's the way of that ends in death. And he says they are together become unprofitable. In everything they do, religiously or whatever, they will not profit in eternal life. And so he says, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Now understand, he's talking about doing good as God measures goodness. Not as man measures goodness. If you just do nothing but compare yourself or other people to each other, you can say, well, there's a lot of good people. He's just a good man, a good woman. But when you compare it to Christ, how do we stack up? The Bible says that Christ is the standard of judgment. Acts 17:31. God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. You see, the standard of righteousness is a man whom God ordained. And who is that man? That man whom he hath ordained, in that he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. How good must I be? I must be as good as Christ. You say, well, I just love everybody. Well, you don't. But if you could say you love it, do you say you love everybody as Christ loved his people? And the answer is no. You say, well, that's impossible. Exactly. Salvation by your works, salvation by your own goodness, is impossible. That's why salvation is by grace, freely given to God's people in Christ. The only way that I can measure up to Christ in his goodness and righteousness is to have his goodness, his righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to me, laid to my charge. As my sins were imputed, counted, charged to him, and he died and paid the penalty, his righteousness is imputed to me. Now that's stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, when it says, For he, that is God the Father, hath made him, God the Son incarnate, to be sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made or become the righteousness of God in him. That's the whole point. Abraham, Romans chapter 4, David, blessed is, David said in Romans chapter 4 and verse 6, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. That's our only hope. Well, back in 1 Corinthians 2, look at verse 15. Now here's the spiritual man. But he that is spiritual. Now what is it to be spiritual? First of all, it's to be justified in the sight of God. It's to be declared legally by God, not guilty, legally righteous in God's sight, based on Christ's righteousness imputed. And then secondly, it's to be born again by the Spirit. Be given spiritual life. Now over in Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 2. It says here in verse 1, and you hath he quickened. To be quickened is to be given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. The natural man is dead in trespasses and sins. And his only hope is to be quickened, born again, by the Spirit of God. And we read in last week in John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, that quickening, that being born again, given spiritual life, is not the product or the result of man accepting Jesus or making the decision for Jesus or belief. You see, accepting Christ, making the decision for Christ, believing in Christ, is the product of being born again. You see, people have this thing mixed up. And the reason they have it mixed up is because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You see, as long as I can say that my being born again is the product of my decision or my will, then I can give myself some room to boast. I made the difference. But God won't have it that way. This thing is not about your glory, it's about his glory. So when he goes back in verse 15 of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, that he that is spiritual. Now it says he judgeth. That word is discerned. Remember it says back in verse 14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't know them. They're spiritually discerned. That means they're spiritually judged or understood. When you hear the preaching of the cross, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed, what is your judgment? Do you value it? Do you see the infinite worth of that? That that's your only hope of salvation. You understand that? That's what he's saying. If the spiritual man, he judgeth all things. What things? All things that are freely given to us of God. My friend, my whole salvation, all the benefits of it, all the blessings of it, are wrapped up not in me and what I did for God or what I decided for God. It's wrapped up in the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. 1 Peter 2, unto you therefore which believe, he, Christ, is precious. All the things that God freely gives to his people in salvation are all because of Christ. We read that last week in Romans chapter 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? That's not talking about all without exception. That's talking about all who to whom God freely gives all things. And who are they? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. That's who he's talking about. You see, the freeness and the fullness of salvation, the spiritual man, the one who is born of God, remember, ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood, regenerated by the Spirit. Those who have been regenerated by the Spirit, they see the value of Christ crucified and risen. They see that it's not just some kind of a blanket pardon of which if men don't receive it, they'll end up in hell. No, that devalues it. The blood of Christ is the salvation of his people. And if you believe that his blood covers those who end up perishing, you devalue it. But the spiritual man, he judges all things. And it says in verse 15, yet he himself is judged of no man. What does that mean? That means that the world will not look upon true believers as being true Christians or truly spiritual people. You know, John said this in 1 John chapter 3. He said, the world, he said, beloved, behold what manner of love that we should be called the sons of God. But he says, the world won't know us. You see, the world, they don't have the discernment. Here's the thing about the world, they don't know what a Christian is. You know, I've heard people say, well, people won't listen. If you want people to know you're a Christian, then let them see you pray in a restaurant before a meal, or let them see your moral life and all. My friend, the world doesn't know what a Christian is. And Christianity is not judged by praying in a restaurant or by living a moral life. Now, should we thank God for our food? Yes, even though we shouldn't make a public display of prayer because prayer is a private thing, and I'm not going to go into all that today. But should we live moral lives? Yes, but that's not the discernment, the understanding, the witness of Christianity. The discernment, understanding, and witness of Christianity is the gospel that we believe. We preach the gospel. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light there is not our good works. The light there is the gospel of Christ who is the light. And they shine on our works so that men won't look at us and honor and glorify and boast in us, but we preach the gospel that shows them that God alone is to be glorified. Don't give me the key to the city. I don't deserve it. God alone is to be glorified. It's the glory of God. And that's what he's saying. The spiritual man judges all things, but he himself is judged of no man. Look at verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of the Lord. The mind of Christ. What is that? You want to climb into the mind of God? Read this book. This is the mind of God revealed right here, from Genesis to Revelation. It's in the gospel. God shows plainly how he saves sinners. Back over in Genesis. And let me say this. That doesn't mean that God has revealed everything in his infinite mind, but he's revealed the things that we need to know. The secret things belong to God. The revealed things belong to us. So if you want to know what God has revealed from his mind, right here in this book, and it's the mind of Christ, everything that God thinks towards his people in his grace and mercy and love is in Christ. And when he brings a sinner to salvation by his grace, when that sinner is born again and brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works, he's given the mind of Christ. It doesn't mean he's perfect in everything that he thinks, says, and does. He's not. But he knows the gospel. He knows the way God saves sinners. Back in Genesis chapter 3, God revealed his mind to Adam and Eve. You know the story. Adam fell. He took sides with his wife and with the devil against God. And the whole human family fell in Adam. And you remember that Adam and Eve, they realized their nakedness and they were ashamed. Well, what did God do? They made fig leaf aprons. That's the works of man. God took those fig leaf aprons off and slew an animal. I believe it was a lamb. Showing that the soul that sinneth must die, the death, the blood must be shed. And made them coats of skin, a picture of the righteousness of Christ imputed to his people. That's what we need. That's the mind of God. That's how God saves sinners. That's how God is just. To justify the ungodly. And that's what the spiritual man knows, but the natural man doesn't. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.